Turn with me this morning, if you would, Psalms chapter number 11. Psalms chapter number 11. You glad you saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
That's the greatest freedom known to man. The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, if I make you free, you'll be free indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. There's freedoms in this country as citizens that can be taken away. And I've said for ages, if we abuse our freedoms, we'll lose our freedom. And people have literally, over the years, abused their freedoms. You know, I heard a soldier say one time that he fought and shed his blood on a foreign battlefield so that some liberal nut could stand in the streets of our cities and burn our flag. That's abusing our freedom. Amen. We have a right to peaceably demonstrate and let our grievances be known against our government. But to burn our flag, to dishonor the country that gives us the freedom we love, something's wrong with that. In Psalms chapter number 11, I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll turn in the Bible and look another place. In Psalms chapter number 11, I want you to look with me at verse number 3. Psalms 11 and verse number 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe America was built on a firm foundation. I believe America was founded on the principles of this book right here. I believe those people left England in hopes for a better life where they could worship God in freedom and not be a part of the government church, the Church of England. They founded this country on Bible principles, moral principles. They built her on the right foundations. America had a great and terrific start. God has certainly blessed this country more than any nation on the face of this earth. There are probably only two nations that knows that kind of blessing. That is Israel and America. God has blessed those nations. I believe one of the reasons God has blessed this nation is because of our ally and our friendship with the nation of Israel. I hope you'll come back tonight. I know you got a lot of things to do and a holiday and all that. But George Washington, do you know why we were called the Blue Coats? You have any idea? We fought the Redcoats, the British military. General George Washington designed our uniforms. He said, if blue is good enough for Israel, God's chosen people, it's good enough for us. Hallelujah. We're in danger today from slipping away from that foundation. There are storms that come through in life. There are storms that come through in parts of the country where we see homes and buildings are removed from their foundation. In latter years, we have seen storms of immorality, storms of sin, storms of liberalism, and storms of unbelief begin to move our nation off of the foundation on which she was founded and built. But I'm not a doomsday preacher. Don't get me wrong. I believe with all my heart there's hope for America. Why? Because there's still a Bible. There's still a book. There's still blood. And there's still blessed hope for America this morning. We've removed ourselves from the foundation of life. We serve a God who gives life. There is no life without Him. We are living in a day when babies are being murdered, the shedding of innocent blood more than any other time in our history. The foundation of the home and the family is under attack. The foundation of free enterprise is under attack. Socialism is creeping into every corner. Listen, I promise you, talk to somebody from a socialistic country. You do not want to live there. We okay this morning? What shall the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? If you don't have a foundation, you're not standing on anything. And we're living in a day when, as in the book of Judges, when they did that which seemeth right in their own eyes, anything goes. If it feels good, do it. Whatever you feel like you are, that's what you are. Brother, that is not a foundation. Amen. Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. There's going to come a place as Americans, as Christians, of where we're going to have to stand and say, that's the book, that's the law, that's God. Look at our country. And you notice when she started going downhill, we may have some public school employees in the building, and nothing against you, but our public school system is far from what it used to be. What happened? They're blaming it on overcrowding. They're blaming it on this. Listen, it's always been overcrowded. Do you understand that? It's always been overcrowded. Always. You say, yeah, but we're a lot bigger. So are our schools. Since I left the Douglas County Board of Education 18, 19, 20 years ago, however long it's been, I don't know how many schools they have built. I ride through and I thought, man, I bet you they've built 20 schools since I left. Probably a school a year, and they're still overcrowded. Listen, they had that same problem back then. I remember as a boy in school, New Georgia Elementary, every morning without fail, the teacher opened this book and read from the Bible. My second grade teacher would read a chapter from the book of Psalms every morning to start our day. We would stand in our classroom and we would pledge that flag. She didn't stop there. Then we had pledged that flag. She didn't stop there. Then we had pledged the Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. Oh, every day, that's how we started our day. When I was in high school, listen to me. When I was in high school, when we came back, Paulding County High School, I know it's Redneckville, Georgia. So you'll understand about what I'm fixing to say. We would come back on January 2nd after Christmas break. And we would walk into our agriculture class, Brother Charles. I'm talking about, Brother Stacy will remember, some of you guys, you'll remember when we as boys, we'd come back off Christmas break and we would bring our brand new deer rifles into class. And our teacher would say, hey, let me see that. Well, that's nice. Yeah, I like that. Nobody thought anything about it. Every pickup in the parking lot had a gun rack in the window with a shotgun or a rifle hanging on it. Guess what? Never one time, Brother Johnny, was anybody shot on our school ground. Never one time did somebody walk into a classroom and start unloading, and there were more guns in school then than there's ever been before. There were guns everywhere. Maybe that's why nobody walked into a classroom and started shooting. Go figure. But I'm saying something happened. What happened? They said God has to go. He is no longer the authority. Education is the authority. No longer can you pray in school. I've heard stories about kids who had Christian t-shirts, you know what I'm saying, with scripture on them, making them turn those t-shirts inside out and wear them all day. Make a public embarrassment out of them. Look at what we're producing. Look at our justice system. It's broken. It's broken. What happened? Well, the Ten Commandments are no longer allowed. When you don't allow the law into the hall of justice, you cannot expect justice. Am I right about it? Somebody help me this morning. If the foundations are destroyed, look at the sanctity of the home. People are divorcing, just, it's crazy. You stand in line in the grocery store, and even the pretty people and the multimillionaires and the movie stars and the rock stars and the rap stars and the country stars, they can't seem to keep it together. Why? Because the foundation of the home is broken. The foundation of the home is broken. When I was a kid, marriage was a man and a woman who fell in love, stood before a preacher, said their vows, started a family. Are we okay? It's no longer the case today. It's marry whatever you want. And you can do that. It's legal. Let me tell you something you can't do. You can't start a family. That destroys the whole thing of the foundation of the home. Oh, we can adopt. We can inseminate. We can. That ain't starting a family. The foundations are broken. The foundation of free enterprise is broken. It's what this country was built on. That's why the immigrants came on ships. I'm for them coming. Don't die on me. You're here because somebody came. I'm for them coming. I'm for them coming the right way. I'm for them learning our language. I'm for them paying taxes. I'm for them working jobs. But there was a day in America when the mindset was work hard, get ahead. Amen. Now today the mindset is take from those who have and give it to those who don't have. Oh, you don't have to work. We're going to take it from the man who earned his. That never works. Study it. That's socialism. Study it. Study it out through history. You know what happens? Everybody gets poor and the government gets rich. Look at the pattern in the Bible. I'll never get to my message this morning. Look at the pattern that God gives us in the Bible. You remember Jesus told the story about the man who was going out of town and he gave his servants talents or money. He gave to this one so much and this one so much and this one so much. He gave them an equal amount, if I remember right. And when he came back, he said, what about the money that I left with you? And the first guy said, oh, I took that money and invested it. And now it's 10 talents. Amen. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He went to the second one. He said, what about you? And he said, well, I doubled it, made it 5 talents. And the last one he went and he said, oh, I knew you as a serious businessman and I didn't want to take no chances. I went and hid it in a napkin. Now, this is God's pattern. He did not say to the one who got 10, okay, this poor guy, he didn't make no money with his. So we're going to take part of yours and give it to him.
That's right.
He took from the others and gave it to the one. Why? Because he earned it. Bailouts don't get the job done. Failure does us good sometimes. We fail and we rebuild. One of the greatest times in this nation was right after the Great Depression. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I believe God clearly gives us the answer in His Word. I believe it's plain as the nose on the front of our face. And it's so simple that we've missed it. If God laid it out like the tax laws, that only, and I don't think the lawyers even understand it. I don't think the IRS understands the tax laws. If it was laid out like the health care plan, looked like two phone books stacked on top of one another. Because of the complexity of it, we'd go, oh, that must be the answer. We don't understand blah, 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 but it must be right. Because they sure a lot to it. A lot to it don't make it right. I believe the answer can be one verse simple. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, back up in your Bible. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He didn't say, what can the wicked do? He didn't say, what can those who are without God do? He said, what can we do? What can the righteous do? What can I do as a saved, born-again American? What can I do to help restore the foundations of this country? You may leave here and say, that guy is a fanatic. I am passionate about it. I am very passionate about it. And I'm not, hey, we are so cloaked in apathy, people just don't care. That's why 40 million Christians didn't bother to vote in the last election. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse 14. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Amen. Sounds like a promise. Yes. Amen. Not a pipe dream. Let me say it again. It sounds like a promise, amen, not a pipe dream. Amen. It sounds like a possibility, yes, not a hope and a scheme. It sounds like a reality and not a fairy tale. Amen. I believe if you and I got serious as American citizens, as born again American citizens, and really sought God's face, we might see a difference. We might see a difference. There's two words that I want you to underline in that verse. Two words. We're going to preach on just about all of them this morning. But two words I want you to really focus on. If. Underline that little word, if. That's a big word. That's a big word. If. And then. If. And then. Those two words make the difference in the entire verse. The Lord said, if my people. He didn't say a wicked government. He didn't say a godless generation. He said, I know he's talking about Israel, but it applies to us. He said, if my people, that's you and me. That's not some big shot in Washington who rides in a limousine everywhere he goes. That's you and me. That's not somebody who takes a staff of 500 on vacation when he goes. That's you and me. Who do everything we can to spend a couple days at Panama City, and that breaks us. Can I get a witness? If my people, which are called by my name, that would be us fanatics. That would be us crazy Christians. Amen. Janet Reno, that lesbian in Washington, called us a cult because we believe in the Bible. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. If that makes you a cult, count me in, because I believe the book. I believe Christ is coming for His church. Have no doubt about it. Whatsoever, if my people, which are called by my name. There's a lot of banners you can live under in our society. And I'm glad we live under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we're known as Christians. I'm glad we're known as fanatics and called Bible believers and all other choice kind of word. I'm glad. Hey, somebody said, oh, they're drinking Kool-Aid over there. We ain't never had Kool-Aid. Except on the buses. And ain't a kid died from it yet. They got a little jacked up on sugar, but they didn't die. Amen. We ain't catching no comets. We ain't living in no commune. But we're called by His name. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, what did He say? Here it is. Here's the big complex deal. Which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Therein may lie the problem.
Amen.
We're so stuck on this proud to be. That's wicked. I'm proud to be an American. Pride is in what you did. Pride is in what you built. Pride is in what you accomplished. But thankfulness is in something somebody else did. Something somebody else accomplished. We did not win our independence. Our independence was given to us by God Almighty. There's no way in human reasoning we should have won the war for independence. We should have been slaughtered and wiped off the face of the planet. September 13th, 1814, there's no way that flag should have stood. No way. The entire fleet of the British Army shooting at it all night long. Don't tell me there's not a God who heard those humble men in the bowels of that ship crying and praying, oh God, don't let her fall. Oh God, hold her up. God, let her stand. We've come too far to go back now. Humility. Humility says, I don't know what to do. I wonder what it would be like if we had a candidate. Somebody help me. If we had a candidate who ran on a platform of I don't know what to do. Except trust God Almighty to put us back where we belong. The honesty would blow the minds of the country. You want to know the truth? You ain't going to like it. They don't know what to do. They have not got a clue. That's what's brought us to the state we're in. There was a day when Congress opened every session in prayer. God lead us. God help us as we make the decisions to lead this country forward. If my people, which are called, you can't even get saved without humbling yourself. The Bible said, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boast in what? I did it. I earned it. I pedaled a bicycle enough to get my way to heaven. I pedaled enough Watchtower magazines to get my way to heaven. I strapped a bomb on myself and blew myself up to get myself. No, it is not within you. If you could earn it, if you could do it, why did Jesus die? Because it's totally outside of yourself. Humility. Without humility, you'll never know Christ. Without humility, we'll never know a God-fearing nation again. Without humility, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Give us leaders. Give us Christians who will be honest and go, I don't know. I don't know what to do. But I'm going to hang on to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 with all my being. Y'all remember the Y2K crash? Y'all remember that? The year 2000, at stroke of midnight, all the computers was going to shut down and the transfer trucks couldn't run and the computers couldn't print checks and blah, blah, blah. It was going to be a crash, a downfall. And money-grubbing preachers were writing books. What to do in case of the Y2K. They made millions. They made millions. Somebody asked me in our church, standing right here on this platform, Brother Eddie, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, we're going to trust God. That's all we've got. Trust in Him brought us this far. Trust in Him will lead us all. Hey, if my people will humble themselves and admit they don't know the way, I will show them the way. My people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves. He didn't stop there. He said, and pray. Pray. We got to humble ourselves. Listen, if we humble ourselves, He'll hear us. I'll get to the pray part in a minute. I'm hung up on this humble. Amen. Tired of all these know-it-alls. They've got all the answers. I promise you, I don't have all the answers, but I know God. I know who does know the answer. I know the one who knows the end from the beginning. He's already been there. So He knows how to get us there. James said, but He giveth more grace. He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Oh, if we could just get back to the place where we could say, this is bigger than I can fix. He said, humble themselves and pray. Prayer is obeying God, being obedience to God. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2 said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Oh, if America would just pray. Listen, if you'll come back tonight, I'm going to tell you how to pray for your country. How to pray for your country. I was in that meeting in Montana week before last, and the fellow who's a missionary to Washington, D.C., Brother Chuck Harding, that man stirred something in my heart. And I was expecting, I'll be honest with you, I was expecting a hobby horse and just all this. No, man, I'm telling you, he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel and talked about my responsibility to my country. I looked at Brother Tony Shirley, and Brother Tony looked at me, and I thought, man, are we failing? He said, no, we failed. We failed. I'll be the first to stand here before you this morning and say I failed to pray for my country. I ought to pray for my country. I've spent more time criticizing our leaders than I have praying for our leaders. If my people will humble themselves and pray, did you know God could turn this country around with wicked leaders if He's got God-fearing people on their knees praying for them? God can direct their paths when they don't even know He's directing their path. I've got a God who can do all things. I wonder if God in heaven is listening and people saying, what's going wrong with America? And God's saying, all you got to do is ask. All you got to do is humble yourself, come down off your religious high horse, and admit for once in a while, you might need me. I can see Jesus not being sarcastic, but just telling the truth. I told you, without me, you can do nothing. You're trying to patch up your education system. You're trying to patch up your judicial system. You're trying to borrow your way out. You're borrowing money from China. How smart are y'all? You're making deals with the devil and wondering why this thing ain't turning around. I told you, without me, ye can do nothing. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Just pray. Just pray. If I tell you how to pray for our country tonight, would you do it? I'll give you a prayer list. I'm going to try to get a little booklet. I'm going to try to get enough of them here. I can give everybody one. We need to pray for America. I'm guilty, Brother Todd. I've let her down. I've let her down. I'll be honest with you. I'm so selfish. I do. I pray for our local government. And I pray for Obama. And I pray for the Senate and Congress. And I pray for all that. But just words. It hit me while that guy was preaching the other day. He said, have you prayed for your city's law enforcement? And I thought, you know what? When it comes to Atlanta, I've only prayed for one. I only prayed for my son-in-law. Lord, watch over Todd and keep him safe. I failed to pray for all the hundreds that he works with. God's laid out a simple plan. It doesn't take three books the size of phone books to contain it. It's a verse. He said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Just lean on me. Let me show you the way. He brought us this far. But he didn't stop there. He said, if they'll pray and seek my face. I love Jeremiah 33:3. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Lord said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Brother David Gibbs said, when you go to God, don't be afraid to biggie size it. I'm praying for some great and mighty things. I'm praying, hey, that revival in North Carolina, hallelujah. Anybody know, are they going another week? They are. That'd be like 9 weeks. Hundreds have been saved. Amen. That's my buddy doing that. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name, man. Thank God. Hey, I'd love to see that thing sweep across America. See another great awakening. Wouldn't that be something if we could see that in our day? Not just read about it in a history book. Wouldn't it be something if when you're old and we're getting there, we could look at our grandbabies one day and say, I was there. I was there when God stirred America again. I was there. And our grandkids say, oh, I hope I can see that one day. Whew. Matthew 21. The Lord said, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. But he didn't stop there. He said, if they'll seek my face, they'll pray and they'll seek my face. Then what did he say next? He said, and turn from their wicked ways. I believe America needs to lay before God in repentance and say, Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We messed up. God's proven himself over and over. Study the life of the nation of Israel. And look how many times they messed up. We've all messed up. The Bible said he remembereth our frame and knoweth that we are but dust. He understands what we are. It doesn't give us an excuse to stay in our wickedness. Lord, forgive us. As an individual, first. As a church, second. I honestly believe with all my heart the problem in our country lies at the feet of the church and the pastors. Do you know who led a lot of the revolution? It was pastors. You know where most of the meetings were held? It was in churches. Churches led the charge. It was the churches who came looking for religious freedom to begin with. We need to repent and say, God, we're sorry. God said, then, if you'll do this and this, then. He didn't give options. He said, if you'll humble yourself, you'll pray and you'll seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing, isn't it? There's probably somebody here this morning lost. Not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. All your sin can be forgiven this morning. If you just humble yourself and say, God, I don't know how. I don't know how to get to heaven when I die, but I'm trusting you to show me the way. Oh, if we'd just humble ourselves and pray and repent. He said, then I'd hear from heaven, I'd forgive their sins. Watch this last little statement. I'm done. He said, and heal their land. Heal their land. For something to need healing, it must be sick.
Amen.
He said again, for something to need healing, it must be sick. Here he's talking about his own chosen people, the nation of Israel. I believe America needs healing. Don't you get me wrong. I love that flag today as much as I ever have. I don't worship the nation. I worship the God who birthed it. And I wouldn't live nowhere else. This is still the greatest country on the face of God's green earth. There is no other. There's none that can even hold a candle to her. She's just sick. She's not dead. She's not dead. Sick and dead is two different things. Dead, it's over. Sick, there's hope. There's hope. Can I ask you a question and we're going to close? Do you care? Do you care? Do you care enough to pray? Do you care enough to vote? So I'm just one. I can't make it. Yeah, you can. You're one. Your one counts. Your one counts. Do you care enough not just pray for your country, but what about for yourself? For your home and your family? Me and Brother Anthony talked about it yesterday, how it breaks our hearts when people raise their hand in the invitation and say they're lost. And they leave without knowing Christ as their Savior. And we leave here week after week and go on to eat our lunch, and it never phases us or bothers us one bit. Apathy. Got to get back to a place where we care. And we're burdened enough to pray for sinners and pray for our country. Let's stand our feet all over the house. There is an answer. There had to be a title for the message this morning. There is an answer. What can the righteous do? Pray. Seek His face. Repent. He said, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. Heads bowed all over the